The book of Proverbs, and we'll be looking at a few verses there and going elsewhere as well. There's been a word that has seemed to be a bit prominent in the vocabulary of our world or our society lately, and it's a word that they seem to be very proud of, and it has caused me to believe that we need to spend a few of our messages, a few of our gatherings together to talk about this word and about what it means and what our attitude should be toward it. The word is pride. Pride. Mentioned 49 times in 46 verses in the King James Bible. Similar word describing the same attitude is proud. And proud is found 48 times in 47 verses. So very similar attention is paid in Scripture to pride and proud. Let me define pride by dictionary definition. If you were to think about what does it mean, what does pride mean, there are several ways in which it can be understood. Number one, conceit. And conceit means to have an excessively high opinion of oneself, or one's appearance, or one's ability. Pride means conceit. Number two, pride might be used to define a justifiable self-respect. In other words, you take pride in your appearance. You take pride in your work. It's not that you have an excessively high opinion of yourself, but that you believe that you ought to be self-respecting. You believe you ought to do a good job. And this kind of self-respect is justifiable. So in that sense, pride is not negative, but is positive. The Bible says, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And so to take pride in the work that you do for the Lord, or in the work that you do in your family and your home, to take pride in the sense that you are justifiably respectful or show respect toward that responsibility, that's not negative. There is a third definition of pride: elation over an act or a possession. We talk about being proud of our nation, proud of Canada, proud of our land, proud of our home. And there is a sense, again, in which that's justifiable. We are happy. We are thankful. To take pride in your citizenship, it can be a positive thing. There is a sense in which it can be negative as well. If you are excessively having an excessively high opinion, if you forget that it is a gift of God to you and you didn't choose that citizenship, maybe some of you did, but the majority of us have a citizenship that was given to us and it was an act of grace. But there is that thanksgiving or joy over an act or possession. Maybe your children have performed or done something publicly, and you are proud of them, and you tell them you're proud of them. It's not an excessive thing. It is an act of joy, or elation over their success. Then we go back to the negative again. A fourth definition of pride is a haughty behavior, haughtiness, which is similar to conceit. And then there is number five, what is called an ostentatious display. Pride is an ostentatious display. How many of you know what ostentatious is? Okay, some wordsmiths, or at least one in the room. I had to look it up as well. I knew in my mind what it meant, or thought I did, but it means pretentious. How many of you know what pretentious means? pretend or to put on airs. Something that's not real, but pretentious or excessive again. So ostentatious really means excessive display. So twice in our definitions of pride, we come up with the idea of excessive. So keep that in mind. Then the word proud, by dictionary definition. The English word proud means to means having or showing excessive self-esteem. And then that definition is followed by the word haughty, which again is a word describing pride. Excessive, having or showing excessive self-esteem. Then number two, proud, again means highly pleased or exalted. So again, that can be positive. You can be highly pleased over something or how something turned out or what happened without showing excessive self-esteem. Number three, proud, to be proud means having proper self-respect. So these really all kind of follow the definitions for pride. To be proud, something is proud is said to be glorious, and there is the definition of being spirited. If you are proud, you are spirited. But the general context of the Bible regarding pride is that it is an excessive self-worth. We might put it this way, it's an excessive belief in my worth or merit. An excessive belief in my worth or merit. The first use of the word pride in the Bible is in Leviticus 26 and verse 19. Now you don't need to turn there, but God says, I will break the pride of your power. God is speaking to Israel and he's warning them about their reaction to his blessing. And he said, if you take it for granted and you begin to do your own thing and you begin to build your own reputation and so forth and you disregard me, then God said, I will break the pride, the arrogance, the excellence of your power. When you begin to see yourself higher than you ought to see yourself and you begin to forget the mercies that I've shown to you, I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. Now, I've asked you to go to Proverbs, so go with me first to Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. Proverbs 8:13, and we're going to begin tonight by looking at some of the scriptures, what the Bible says about pride, and then I'm going to seek to define it, and then we're going to go from that into humility and talk about what characterizes humility. But we'll look at some verses tonight to set the stage. And we'll just do what we can tonight, and then we'll come back to this again. But Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Wisdom is speaking here. If you were to look at chapter 8 and read the entire chapter, wisdom is speaking. So in essence, God is speaking. And God says that to fear him is to hate evil. And then immediately he follows with those things which are evil. And he hates. And number one is pride. God hates pride. And to fear the Lord is to hate pride. Now go backwards to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6 and verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. I hope you're noticing this strong language. This is important. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Number one on the list in verse number 17 is a proud look. A proud look. So God hates pride, and he hates a proud look. And then look at chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And verse number 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. The word abomination is a word which describes something. If something is an abomination, it is disgusting. It is repelling. It is unacceptable, unattractive, and to be rejected. And an abomination to the Lord is those who are proud in heart. And please notice verse number 5, and perhaps it would be wise for our generation to hear these words. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. The proud in heart can assemble together in parades and celebrate their pride. But God says the pride of your heart is an abomination to me. And though you join hands together, you will not go unpunished. You will not go unanswered. Justice will be meted out. Look at verse 18 of the same chapter. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We've already seen that in the English, the word pride is described by the word haughty, or being proud, is haughtiness. Pride goeth before destruction. So what are we learning? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and pride is one of those things that God hates. He hates a proud look, and those who are proud in heart are an abomination to Him. And pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11 in verse number 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. And there is a contrast here, but with the lowly, a word defining the opposite of proud, humility, is wisdom. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 4. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. A high look and a proud heart is sin. And Proverbs 29 and verse 23. Proverbs 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. A man's pride shall bring him low. Now, every one of these scriptures is summed up in James chapter 4 in the New Testament. So all of these bits of wisdom from Solomon by inspiration of God are also recorded in one statement in James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse number 6. I love the way it starts, but he that is God giveth more grace. Amen. Give me more, Father. I need more. He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. That's the summary. Are you listening to me tonight? God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And because that's true, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. God resisteth the proud. So what we've learned is this. Pride is sin. It is evil in the sight of God. He hates it. It is an abomination to him. It precedes or goes before destruction. It brings man low and brings man to shame. And God will always resist pride. Now, my tendency is to look at the world around me and to hear their declarations of pride and their unashamed exulting and boasting and glorying in their shame, and to think that pride is something that does not touch my heart or touch my life. But I'm here to tell you tonight, pride is as common to man as breathing oxygen or breathing the air. We have a sinful heart. And pride is something that all of us must contend with. Pride is a lot like a weed. And you are constantly having to weed the garden. You are constantly having to root out the pride that grows in the sinful soil of the human heart. We could talk about all kinds of pride tonight. We could talk about pride of race, pride of place, where we live or where we come from or our neighborhood. We could talk about pride of face, our appearance, and being proud of what we are like and what we appear to be. We could talk about pride of grace. Yes, there is a possibility of us having an excessive opinion of our worth or merit when it comes to grace, when it comes to holiness, when it comes to righteousness. There is pride of position. There is pride of ability, pride of appearance, pride over accomplishment. Pride is the original sin. And it's my firm conviction tonight, based upon the study of Scripture, that every other sin that man can and does commit grows out of the soil of pride. Pride is the original sin. And it's because of pride, it's because we have an excessive opinion of our worth or merit, that we transgress the laws of a holy and eternal God. That's at the root of it all. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. Paul was instructing a young preacher boy regarding how things ought to be done in the house of God. And he's giving qualifications for the offices of pastor and deacon. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he's talking about the office of a bishop, an overseer, which is the same term for a shepherd, for the pastor of the church. And in verse number 6, one of the qualifications is he is not to be a novice, a newcomer, one who's a newborn. So somebody who's a brand new convert, new to the faith, has not had his faith tested yet, has no experience in the faith. He's not to be a novice. Why? Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. The young man who is in the beginning of his Christian experience has not yet had the opportunity to have testing. I heard one preacher say he's not yet had the opportunity to have the stuffing of pride knocked out of him by the hard knocks of life. And because he has no experience, the little experience, because he's the least experienced, he is likely to be the most confident of his own abilities. But the man who's been around a while and been around the block and has experienced life is a man who is least likely to be confident of his own abilities and understands what's required of him. But the point being made is that the condemnation of the devil is pride. And I'm not going to take the time to go back, but if you were to study Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, we have recorded there what we believe to be the fall of Lucifer, the anointed cherub of God, and his fall is because his heart was lifted up. He was made beautiful, and God gave him talent, and God gave him responsibility, but he was not content with that, and he began to have an excessive opinion of his own worth and merit, and he said, I'm going to be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the Most High. I will rule on the sides of the north, and he expresses this independence of God, and because of that, he's kicked out of heaven. What do we read in the book of Proverbs? Because of pride, a man will be brought low, and he falls from his estate. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 10, our Lord Jesus tells his disciples, I beheld Satan fall from heaven. He fell. He was kicked out of heaven because of his pride. It wasn't enough what God had given him, what God had chosen for him as a station in life, and the blessings that God had bestowed upon him were not enough, and his heart wanted more. There's the origin of sin in the universe right there. And by the way, that's the essence of sin, not being satisfied with God's decision, not being satisfied with God's provision, but deciding you know better, or you want more, or you need more. And so Satan, who fell from heaven, condemned because of his pride, comes to man and woman in the Garden of Eden and suggests to them that they deserve more, that they have a greater worth and merit than God is giving them credit for, and suggests that if they will do what God has commanded them not to do, they will benefit by it. And so he gets them to exercise their own will and their own independence from God. And on the heels of Adam and Eve's transgression, all of us followed. For Isaiah 53:6 says, "For all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way." We're all together in problem. We're all together gone out of the way. We are all sinners. We are all transgressors. Pride is an issue in humanity. It began with Satan in heaven before there was any other sin. And sin now abounds in the human experience because of pride. At the root of all of our transgression is pride. Let me give you quickly three definitions and mention to you a couple of individuals in the Bible. These are definitions of pride, and we're not going to go much further, but I am going to read to you in a moment a list that I want you to listen carefully to so that you can discern whether or not you have pride. Because listen to me, if the Bible is true, if the verses we read in the book of Proverbs are true, if what James said is true by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you don't want anything to do with pride. Pride is an abomination to your God. Pride is evil. Pride is hated by God. And God will resist you. And if you and I are not concerned about pride and we feel that we can excuse ourselves and aren't willing to root it out, you may find yourself living the rest of your life fighting to accomplish something for God and never being able to, because God is fighting against you. God is resisting you. God is not helping you. He is not your helper, because pride rules your heart. Do you understand tonight? This is significant. This is serious. It ought to cause us to tremble to think of the judgment that is going to fall upon men and women who have been plainly told the clear, revealed truth of God regarding their morality, and who are not only continuing in immorality, but proudly doing so, and doing so with joy and rejoicing and with dancing and celebration and forcing others to join in. I'm telling you, there ought to be some trembling for what they're going to face at the hands of God. He hates it. It's an abomination. And it shall not go unpunished, though hand join in hand. But I'm telling you, my friend, pride in the life of a Christian is no different. And theirs may be pride of immorality. Yours and mine might be pride of morality. Let me give you three quick definitions of pride, and later we'll learn about humility. But here's number one. Pride is wanting to be greater or higher than God would have you to be. Wanting to be greater or higher than God would have you to be. Isn't that what Satan did? Isn't that what Lucifer did in Isaiah chapter number 14? I will, I will, I will. It was all about his will. He had been given station by God. In Ezekiel chapter 28, God mentions that and talks about his beauty and talks about his musical blessing and all the things that he was. And yet it wasn't enough. And his condemnation is pride, and that is wanting to be greater or higher than God would have him to be. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 15, we read about one of the sons of David. His name is Absalom. He's beautiful. He's a desirable young man. He's strong, he's able, he's wise. He sits down in the gate of the city and begins to talk to men as they come through the gates of the city. And he basically says, you know, the king really doesn't have time for you, but I've got time. And would to God that I were judge in Israel, because I could figure things out for you and make things right. And the Bible says he steals the hearts of the men of Israel. God's appointed leader for Israel was David. And Absalom was not given that place by God. Absalom had a place that God gave him. But Absalom wants to be greater or higher than God would have him to be. He's not content, but he would be king. And I'll just tell you quickly, Absalom ends up hanging from a tree with his hair caught in the branches of the tree. So hanging by his hair, and has a dart thrust through his heart and slips into eternity. God says you're going to fall. God says it will not go unpunished. How about Korah in Numbers chapter 16? Korah believes that Moses and Aaron are taking too much upon themselves. And they begin to murmur and complain against them and lead a rebellion against them. And if you go and read that passage in Numbers chapter 16, Moses says to him, look what God has given you. Look what God has given to your family. Look at the privileges and blessings that God has bestowed upon you. And yet that's not enough. You would be priests also. You would take the role of another as well. And what he's saying is, Korah, the pride of your heart has deceived you. And pride is the wanting to be greater or higher than God would have you to be. And Korah's not satisfied with the place that God has given he and his family in the commonwealth of Israel. And he brings accusation against Moses and Aaron. But the truth of the matter is, guess who his accusation was against? God. God doesn't know what he's doing. Be very careful about coveting the place or position of another. Be very careful about finding fault with those who are placed in a position of leadership and responsibility by God. Pride is clearly defined by scriptural principle and example as wanting to be higher or greater than God would have you to be. Number two, pride is an overvaluing. We think back to the English definition. It's an excessive opinion, an overvaluing of ourselves, or esteeming ourselves to be greater, wiser, or better than we really are. I'll say it again. It's an overvaluing of ourselves, or esteeming ourselves to be of greater, to be greater, wiser, and better than we really are. I don't know where you'll find a better example of that than in King Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 4, he tells the story with his own lips that he's walking around his kingdom one day and he's looking at Babylon and he says, is this not the great Babylon which I have built with my might? And God reduces him to the state of an animal, gives him the heart of a beast. And he wanders for 7 years out in the fields and pastures on all fours and eating grass until God's judgment passes over him and he's restored. Thank God there is restorative grace. Thank God there is a second chance. And when Nebuchadnezzar gets the second chance, he says, my reason returned to me. And let me tell you who rules. Let me tell you who's in charge. Let me tell you who's worthy of all worship and honor and glory. It's God. And I am nothing and he is everything. And you can read about it in Daniel chapter 4. But I'm telling you, you ought to begin to see perhaps a little bit of the shadow of pride creeping into the corners of your heart when you think about that description. Overvaluing yourself or esteeming yourself to be greater, wiser, or better than you really are. And number three, here's a third definition of pride. Desiring that others should think of you and speak of you as better than you are. Desiring that others should think of you and speak of you as better than you are. And again, Bible example, For your own personal study, go to the book of Esther. And we find a man by the name of Haman. And Haman is promoted by the king. And everybody who comes and goes from the palace has to acknowledge Haman, and they bow down to him and acknowledge his position and his authority. But there's a certain Jew in the land by the name of Mordecai who, because of God's instruction, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he understood he wasn't to bow to any man, he wasn't to worship any man, and he refused to bow. He refused to pay any heed to Haman. You want to know what pride is? Haman will tell you. It's desiring that others should think of and speak of you better than you really are. And he couldn't stand it that one man in the entire kingdom did not show him the respect that he felt he deserved. So you know what he said? He said, I'm going to destroy all the Jews in the land. And he concocted an evil plan in his pride to destroy all of Mordecai's people. But of course, he forgot about God. He forgot that pride is an abomination of God. And that though hand join in hand, it shall not be unpunished. And in a very interesting story, Haman, who has prepared a gallows upon which he thinks Mordecai will hang, ends up hanging on those gallows by the gracious intervention of God. Who are you listening to me? Hates pride. It's an abomination to him. He detests it. And it doesn't matter whether it's in a lost sinner or a saved sinner. Whether it's in a sinner or a saint, God despises pride. And the Bible clearly says he resists pride. I don't know about you. I don't want God fighting against me. I want God's grace. But I'm telling you tonight, I find traces of pride all over in this heart of mine. Everywhere. Let me tell you what pride is about. And we'll close with this. I want you to go away thinking about this. What does pride make me do? Well, in the sense it can't make you, it doesn't force you to do anything, but it's the cause of these things. Pride. Pride makes me think of myself first and others later. Pride makes me look for my name on the list or for my face in the photograph. Pride is what makes me compare myself with others, excusing my failures while condemning theirs. Pride makes me sensitive about how I look, about what I feel. And it makes me always defensive about what I do. Pride makes me expect special treatment. Pride makes me want to be in control. Pride makes me think that my opinion is most important. Certainly more important than yours. Pride makes me always want to be right. And to have great difficulty accepting that I'm wrong. Pride makes me impatient, resentful, and bitter. It causes me to speak boastful words, critical words, argumentative words. It causes me to be pushy with my agenda, nosy about the business of others, competitive, obsessive about my wants, anxious about the outcome when it relates to me. Pride makes me want to be recognized, noticed, appreciated, valued. Pride makes me proud of my looks, boastful of my looks, my education, my ministry, my skills, my knowledge, my status. Can I stop here and say, if you ever pay close attention, you'll know that it seems that the things that people are most proud of are things they had absolutely nothing to do with. That's why Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, what do you have that you did not receive? If you received it, then why do you boast as though you did not receive it? They were arguing about who was better and who was more talented and who was more gifted. And wait a minute, those are gifts to you. But pride makes me boast of them, be excessive in my praise of those things in my life. Pride makes me jealous of any of those things in you. It not only makes me proud of my looks, but jealous of yours. Proud of my education, jealous of another's. Proud of my ministry, jealous of another. Proud of my skills, jealous of another. Or the acknowledgement of another's skills or knowledge or status. Pride makes me resentful when I'm disrespected. It makes me discontent. I feel I deserve better. Restless, anxious, makes me late for you. Yet fumes, makes me angry when you are not early for me. Pride makes me not want to try because I'm afraid I'll fail. That's pride. Unwilling to try because I'm afraid I'll fail. That's pride. Pride makes me picky, finicky, touchy, choosy, bossy. It makes me self-absorbed, self-reliant, self-conscious, self-confident, self-sufficient, self-satisfied, self-focused, self-centered. Pride makes me unreliable because nobody can tell me what to do or when to do it. Pride makes me unloving because I'm unwilling to sacrifice. Pride makes me unteachable because nobody can correct me. Pride makes me competitive. I'll always try to outdo another. Pride makes me quick to speak, slow to hear. Pride makes me quick to anger, slow to forgive. Pride makes me quick to take and slow to give. I really hate stopping here. I don't want you to go home feeling like you've been hit with a hammer. But I do want you to go home thinking seriously about how what we so easily can spot in a sinner, what we can so easily spot in another, is so easy to miss in ourselves. And God does not specify that He resists the proud who are gay, or whatever other term you want to use. The Bible doesn't specify that God resists the proud who are murderers or who are abortionists. It says He resists the proud, period, and gives grace to the humble. And while I don't have time to preach on it tonight, we will get to it. But 1 Peter chapter 5, be clothed with humility. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. The fact that God gives two imperatives through Peter to you and I, that we should be clothed with humility, that's an imperative, it's a command. Be clothed with humility, and the command, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, in both cases, those commands clearly indicate that you can do it And because you can do it, you ought to do it. And it's possible for you and me to clothe ourselves with humility and to humble ourselves under the hand of God. We can be on the other side of the picture. Though pride keeps springing up, though pride grows like weeds in our heart, we can continuously weed it, and we can, by the grace of God, create an environment, an atmosphere in our life of humility. But I warn you, when we move from this topic to humility and begin to see what the Bible says is the definition of humility, it's not easy. And you'll probably see more pride in your life than you've ever seen before. I'm saying this all to you tonight because I believe you want and I want God's hand of blessing, not God's hand of resistance. I believe you want and I want God, as it were, pushing us, carrying us forward, rather than God standing in front of us saying, you can't go any further than that. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, and he giveth more grace. So I'm not trying to discourage you nor dishearten you. I am trying to awaken you, and I want God to quicken me and awaken me to the evil thing called pride. In truth, as we said this morning, all of our heartaches and sorrows and suffering and difficulties and disagreements and problems stem from our will instead of his will. And that's pride, having a higher opinion of ourselves than we ought to, and wanting others to think that way, and wanting a different position. May the Lord give us grace this week as we ponder these truths to see clearly the pride that is evident in us, and to work at clothing ourselves with humility, humbling ourselves under his mighty hand. Let's pray. Father, would you help us tonight as we go from this place thinking on these things? Lord, I so much want. I can't believe that at 61 years of age, having known you since I was a boy, I can't believe there's so much pride still evident in this heart. So much self-importance. God, I pray that you'll help me and help your people with this wonderful principle that the humble will be lifted up. The humble will have grace. And may it scare us, frighten us to no end, to think that our pride would cause our God to fight against us, to resist us, to hold back. Help us this week to listen to the voice of your Spirit, to be mindful and thoughtful of this truth until we meet again and consider it further. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please.